was a sticky summer afternoon when it appeared, a nearly 7-foot bronzed Baphomet at the foot of the Arkansas State Capitol. And just as quickly, it was gone. For a handful of hours, the goat-headed, winged figure sat vigil outside the white stone building. For many, this statue represents the forces of evil itself, darkness, chaos, and the void. But to the members of the Satanic Temple, those behind the statue's appearance, the Baphomet is a symbol of equality, tolerance, and reconciliation. The use of Satan and satanic imagery is sure to shock. After all, that's kind of the point. But who is Satan? And more importantly, who are his modern-day followers? We'll dig into the history of the Beast and some of the biggest sects of those who follow the Prince of Darkness to learn about their beliefs and vision for the world. That's what you're in for today on Impolite Society.
Oh, I just detest rude, unladylike young ladies.
I hope you don't mind me being a tad rude.
I myself am strange and unusual.
Don't be rude.
That is some weird, wild stuff.
Shocking, isn't it?
It's a scandal,
but it's provocative.
Please stop making me blush.
Welcome to a very spooky episode of the podcast where we peel back those layers of polite society to look directly into the void.
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 Void. Void. And today, we are tackling the big man himself, Mephistopheles, Beelzebub, Asmodeus, Satanus, Lucifer. Hail Satan! Welcome, Year Zero! Get ready for a lot of singing. Hell yeah, that felt good.
Is Year Zero, is that a ghost song?
Of course
it's the Year Zero. Okay.
Of course
it's a
ghost song. Came
out of nowhere for me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. My goodness. I'm going to shoehorn as many ghost songs as I can into this episode.
I have a friend who is also very into ghosts, and he has glasses, and on his glasses... on the inside, you know, like where you would normally have like a brand name, it says Hail Satan.
I love it. Why have you not introduced me to this friend?
No, like I'll introduce you to Steve. Shout out to Steve. Hey, Steve.
Steve, I can't wait to meet you and trick or treat you. Okay. So as you can imagine, as somebody who is very gleefully singing ghost, I've been kind of transjacent to this world for a while, and yes, that is a word that I made up because according to the topic today, I am the god of my own universe. I control reality, and in my reality, transjacent is a word.
Transjacent.
Lives matter.
No, just kidding. How is that different than adjacent?
Because it's transjacent. It was adjacent, and then it decided it wasn't, and then it decided it was.
It merged. It's,
yeah, it transitioned to being even more adjacent.
Okay. All right.
So I've been real been real transjacent to, you know, the spooky side of things. Like, I always had kind of a little intrigue into Satan and, like, tarot and paranormal and magic with a K. It's something that's intrigued. That's a new word too. Intrigued me. I mean, I'm down with all things spooky and dark.
DTS, down to spooky.
Ooh, I like it. That's going to be a new t-shirt design brought to you by the merch of Impolite Society, which is yet to ever be created. But so that's to say, I know a thing or two about Satan. But Laura, I'm curious. What do you think of when you hear the name Satan?
Okay, so I grew up in a Catholic school realm, K through 12, went to Catholic school. So there's a lot of the big S man that you hear around them, their parts. And so first, fallen angel, morning star. You know, he was an angel. He thought he was knew better than God or something like that. And then God was like, nah, and threw his ass out. And then apparently he created a kingdom down below, right?
Yeah.
And he's the king of all things hell, you know, hot Satan. And he's down there. Everybody's got horns. Mm-hmm. Everyone down
with
there
little
is all like, yeah. And they're all burning in hell. And Satan is like, yes, you shall have more cockroaches in your hell. Or yes, you shall have more, I don't know, pitchforks up the ass in hell.
Some people might enjoy that. I don't know. That's to each their own.
Things get a little sketchy down there.
I've seen documentaries about it.
About pitchforks up the ass?
I've seen, that's the word for non-fiction, potentially scripted short films that one might see on the internet late at night that
okay,
involve people enjoying that kind of proclivity.
I mean, I could see that being a popular porno, right? You know, a dildo shaped pitchfork. Yeah, I could definitely see how that could go. Okay, what else do I know about Satan? Thinking back, Adam and Eve.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The snake in the garden. I think that is supposedly Satan as well, tempting Eve with his apple.
Tempting's a big part of modern the Christian interpretation of Satan, like the little devil on your shoulder being like,
oh, yeah,
do bad things.
And the little angel saying, no, you shouldn't.
And then you say, you're like, get off my shoulder, you little angel bitch.
And I always think of it as like your baser instincts, you know, like if we talk about like our caveman paradise, like your little caveman on your shoulder that tells you to do this. And then your more higher functioning human on the other hand, like maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah, there's a lot of that duality that I think religion goes to try to explain, that struggle. Where Satanists, as we find out, actually tend to kind of embrace the animalistic side. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I think the kind of key piece that you were mentioning is that Satan represents a lot of like evil, a lot of dark. Like he wants you to do bad stuff, which is pretty
There's
rad.
Yin and the yang. God is the white and devil is the black.
You can't use those analogies anymore because why is black bad?
Because it's dark.
Boom, PC police.
I can't see.
Busted.
I can't see in the dark. Darkness.
Good
darkness
and
is black.
Evil. But the idea of evil goes back to the beginning of humanity, right? Many cultures have a variety of God-type characters, and some are good and some are bad, or, you know, they all enact their own vengeance and will, and they're all competing and doing their thing. Mm-hmm. Only our Satan isn't just one of those demons of long ago. What makes the devil so special? Well, according to Jeffrey Burton Russell, leading historian Satan, it's quite the title, says to be the devil, one must be seen as the leader and the personification of evil. Rock and roll!
But that's what I think of when I think of the devil. I think capital T, capital D, the devil. And so that's like in the Judeo-Christian world that I grew up in as a child, like that is all the really bad things, and not just the bad things of like premarital sex. But the real bad stuff, like the really bad stuff that we all think of, which is like murder and rape and, you know, children being molested, like that kind of stuff. Like that's what I think of when I think of like the devil, capital T, capital D, all the bad, depraved, awful things that just make you like want to bawl your eyes out.
Exactly. And while in the old world, right, those could have been a bunch of different entities enacting those bad things or causing those bad things to happen, the idea of the one true bad force is actually a lot more rare than I anticipated. I learned that it's only really linked to four major religions, or I guess like categories of religion. I mean, because Christianity is, of course, there, but there's a lot of different forms of Christianity. But anyways, so it's linked to four major religions, and they all have one thing in common, and that is monotheism, a.k.a. one God. Because, as anybody who's been alive knows, life ain't all sunshine and roses. So how does one square away a world where bad things are happening literally all the time with your one loving God? Is he your God, your worshiping, making those bad things happen Can he really wear the face of evil and good, anger and love?
It's a hard thing to reconcile. I mean, my like Christianity days are a little bit behind me in the terms of like, do I believe in like Jesus as a savior? I don't know. I don't know that I ever
met
really
the guy. I don't know.
Exactly. It's kind of where I fall too. But it's, I still have those like mores that they're just like kind of hard coded into me at this point, you know, at K-12. And that's the sticking point, I feel like, for most people is how do you reconcile these two? So if you are a monotheistic religion, you have to have that counter side to kind of blame everything on.
Well, and that's exactly what the Christians did, or I shouldn't say the Christians, the Judeo-Christian religions, because there were other monotheistic religions that had a god with two faces, right? Because literally he had his loving side and his vengeful side. But
Janus is one of them. Janus is the god that has two faces.
Oh, anyway, there you go. I did not remember that from the book that I read about
Greek
this
god.
Topic. Yeah. But as you mentioned, the answer is quite simple. And if you don't want to blame your god for the bad things that are happening, give him an antagonist, baby. So in the greatest PR move in religious history, whoever was writing the book decided that the big man upstairs, he's not responsible for that. Oh, your crops died? That's not my man. That's not my man, Yahweh. He's not behind that. It was actually this other guy. I saw him. I saw this other guy do it. He was red. He's wearing a little red suit. He had little pointy horns and a pitchfork. And he lives in the ground. He's in the ground. Yep, that's where he lives. I saw him go back down to his ground. And, you know, I know our God's all powerful, but this guy opposes him and he does his own will. But God is stronger than him and can beat him up. But he chooses not to, or he doesn't all the time. Don't think about it too much. Just don't think about it. This is just a bad guy and he's the problem.
Could it be Satan?
Exactly.
You remember Church Lady in SNL, Dana Carvey doing the Church Lady sketch?
I'm not an SNL historian.
Could it be Satan?
And now she has a job on Fox News.
Pretty much, sadly. If only she had the legs, she could be a great Fox News correspondent.
Well, there's only two types, right? There's the young, hot ones you want to fuck, or like the grandmotherly ones that you want to bake you cookies. So she probably falls into the latter category, I'd imagine.
Probably. Considering she's a man played by Dana Carvey.
No comment. But isn't that the story, though, right? The story of humanity, that struggle of good versus evil, light versus dark. And to really rally around that, you need more than just bad things happening at random, right? It's not just the God wasn't paying attention. It was that somebody's behind it. Somebody's making it happen. The bad things and tempting people to do bad. And that is what makes the devil, is being a part of that bigger system, a system of checks and balances. While he's evil, there's that other entity, right, who owns order and justice, and they have that balance. The word Satan itself, as it originated in Abrahamic religions, wasn't this devil on your shoulder, evil tempter, but really just an obstruction or opposition for God. He was the rival lawyer in the courtroom who was arguing against what God wanted. And that's kind of a role that Satanists still take to this day, as we'll find out.
And I think of it kind of like the, like you said, that devil on your shoulder, you know, there's like point, counterpoint. Satan plays that opposite role.
Yeah, and it wasn't even just trying to persuade humans to sin. That wasn't even the first thing. It was just a little bit even more neutral than that. The early days of Satan himself, he wasn't an evil, scary figure. He was just the person who was like, well, actually, but what about, right?
Well, actually, yeah. And pushes his glasses up on his nose.
And that's kind of the Satan that we find today. But there's still a lot of history between then and now, right? The Satan that we know and some of us love today, actually, you know, he originated in Judaism and early Christianity, but he's still far from the first, right? The story of like a main oppressor or a main kind of presence mm-hmm. of evil goes back to Persian culture with an entity named Pazuzu. And if you're trying...
Pazuzu.
Yeah, and if you're trying to place that name, let me just spin my head all the way around and vomit, projectile vomit my pea soup. Because, yes, the demon from The Exorcist is actually the first take on the devil. That's a fun fact for you.
Interesting. They use that name in the movie?
They
I
did.
Mean, I've seen it, but I haven't, like, studied it.
I haven't seen it, but I read that fact and I was like, that sounds right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they didn't even have the internet back then, so I don't know how they knew it.
They actually cracked some books. They went to the like, library.
Well, actually, that's Satan, and that's Satan. That's, yep, to go find that out. But from that first breath of life, the devil has changed a lot, right? But since all religions are essentially telling the same story in different ways, this figure seeped into Judaic Christian religions as an explanation for suffering. Whereas before, God himself was the cause of all good and evil. And the role that the devil played in that was really just an executor of God's will. You looking for an example of that, look at the story of Job, right? Where the God was saying, God, the devil's...
It's a hard one.
Yeah. The devil was like, oh... Job wouldn't like you if you were mean to him. And so God was like, well, okay, then go do your thing. We'll see what he does. And so it was still kind of that executor of God's will. He was still following God's orders. But from there, he's really evolved a lot. Enter God's publicist, so to speak. So somewhere between the Old and the New Testament, he really...
Oh, there's a world of difference between that Old and New Testament.
Yes. And actually...
You're like, what changed, guys?
Well, it's really, really funny because Christianity, as I learned in my research for this, actually emerged from apocalyptic Judaism. And so it's interesting. It's just interesting that like... We, of course, think it's the end times, and no wonder Christians were always like, everything's so awful, because that's literally what their roots are in. Because if you're practicing Jew today, you will not believe in heaven and hell. So this is like, hell is really an old concept in Judaism that fizzled out. Meanwhile, the apocalyptic side, the Christians, we really latched onto it.
We took it to a whole new level.
And we gave Satan a hell of a promotion. And he became more than just the kind of neutral opposition of God to take on such lofty titles as the ruler of this world, because this world is full of sin, father of lies, God of this world, ruler of the power of air, and Beelzebub, which means ruler of demons. Truly the beast with many names.
That's interesting to me because I mean, like in my heart of hearts, like when I look at religion and all these kind of things, I really do more prescribe to that old timey religion, like the Old Testament God. Like he is an asshole. You know what I mean? Like he is the provider of all things, both the bad and the good. And yeah, I feel like I'm a Jew. Like deep down, I'm a Jew.
Well,
because I'm like, Old Testament speaks to me.
As I saw on a billboard on I-70 here in Missouri, Judaism, come for your girlfriend, stay for the lack of hell. So apparently they're taking converts these days.
Really? Interesting.
I've been sitting on that for like a week. I've been dying to tell anybody about that billboard that I saw.
And I really wanted to hear about it. So you found your audience because I've always been interested in Judaism, but I've always heard they don't like the converts.
Well, maybe they just want the male converts because Judaism is matrilineal. Yeah. So they probably don't want our.
Yeah, well, I already have
goyim,
it's fine.
Uteruses.
Like I truly want to know. Honestly, next time you pass that billboard, find out the name of whatever that synagogue or whatever is, because I'm curious. I've always been into like expanding my religious repertoire because I know the Christianity doesn't quite fit me, but like I want to have a spiritual life and I'm never sure what that is. So, you know, write it down. Next time you see it, I want to check it out. I want to know. But the other thing, thinking of like all those lofty titles, I always think, have you ever seen Dogma? the movie, Kevin Smith?
It's been a while, but I've seen it, yes.
There's one thing that they always say in there about, or not always say, if there's one line in it, he says, the morning star. And that one always stuck with me because the Bible refers to both Jesus and the devil as the morning star. They refer to both of them.
Yes, and that's
the morning star.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually, there's a lot of duality there because the devil used to have symbolicism of the lion, right?
And symbolism.
Symbolism. Symbology. Symbolicism. This is my reality. You're just living in it. But the devil and Jesus, again, were also given that symbolism, right, of the lion. So there's like that kind of duality there. And in the Old Testament, the entity that would become Satan and the devil, Moloch, he was the one who was associated with the morning star. So, and then, of course, you can't have the devil being like that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling. So then they were like, well, we're going to give that to Jesus because he's the bringer of light now, you know.
It just goes to show is fucking two sides of a coin. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, it's just humanity. It's
and that's why
messy. We're all things at the same time. And we make up gods that are all the same thing at the same time.
Yes. And that's very true because religion itself is squishy, right? And it's constantly evolving and changing because Christianity, as any good parasite, it adapts and evolves to the situation it's in. So
to its host, it's like, what do you need right now? Let me provide it.
Oh, the meek shall inherit the earth. Are you pitiful and struggling? Don't ask for better. No, no, no. You are really living in Jesus's image. But yes, that's what it does. So it's funny that Satan, who was the more, you know, was that role. Moloch was on the God's council, right? He was there. He was sitting in the little meetings. He was on the Zoom meeting. He had his little cup of coffee.
Which one is Moloch? What iteration is this?
Oh, that's Christianity, baby. He's in the Bible.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Judaism.
Is he? Okay. Again, this is where it gets confusing, though. So, like, Moloch, the name, is that actually devil? The capital T, capital D, or is this one of his demons? Because so that's when things get fuzzy.
No, this is the entity that would become Satan. So it was a figure.
Okay. The capital demons, T, capital D, the devil.
Yeah. Okay. So the demons are just like adaptations, which is what Christianity did so well. Was it was really good at adding in elements of other divine enemies or entities, right? So Satan has picked up a lot from others like Hades, Typhon, Arirum, and Hela, like as we all know from Thor.
Yeah, I was going to say Hela. I like Hela.
Yeah. I mean, they were just really...
She's a badass bitch.
And so no wonder she got associated with the devil because that's what Christianity was also so good at doing. It took the things that it didn't like and it just slapped them onto the devil. So if you were like, obviously, the god of death, those things got associated with you because no human likes death. But... You know, the Catholic Church was not so fond of a lot of like free fornication either. One of the key figures that they did a number on was my homeboy Pan, who is a satyr. So he was a very randy guy and he's a figure in pagan religion.
I just think of him as like mischievous, you know?
Oh,
not,
no.
Like,
he was legit bad.
He
wanted to fuck. He was associated with sex. And so that's why his characteristics, which, what do you think of when you think of Pan? Half goat.
Goat.
Yep. Yeah. Cloven hooves, little horns, shaggy hair.
Interesting.
That was all. Also, who else looks like that in our modern take of Christianity? The devil. So they were like, oh, you're a god of fornication? Stick that on the devil because we don't want people having all kinds of sex.
It's like a Rolling Stone. Right? It just picks up whatever they don't like.
At the time, yeah. So that's how Moloch, this angel who was on God's council, who just opposed him or like maybe threw out some alternative ideas. That's how that's how he became this complex mythical monster that was thrown from the heavens and set to rule the fiery underworld and torment souls of the damned. Otherwise, you know, to say pretty unrecognizable from those living in the times when he was given his first names.
I believe it.
Now, it doesn't matter so much, right, what he was. It's what he is today, because that's what I'm going to look at, is modern day Satanisms. And if this guy, the spirit, this entity, is the personification of evil and does all kinds of horrible things and influences all kinds of horrible things, why the heck would anyone want to follow him? And that answer depends on who you ask. So, I will now walk you through a couple different kinds of Satanists. And I just want to make a major call out here, because the concept of theistic versus non-theistic. A theist is somebody who believes that Satan is real, or, you know, that believes in gods or whatever. And a theistic Satanist actually, like, worships a Satan as a, like, spiritual being, like Christians worship.
The way that you would pray to,
Jesus.
Yeah. The way you would pray to God, you pray to
or
Satan.
Or that the weird Holy Spirit that no one really understands what the fuck it is. But I'm
Trinity? Question mark?
Three in one? That's interesting. It's just like they're making it
sounds
up
like
as they go.
A porno I've seen before.
A documentary that you've seen before.
Sorry. Late at night.
So I'm not going to talk about them because it's, like, honestly just a bit of a headache, because they're like a lot of small, tiny groups that are constantly breaking up and starting new groups and breaking up and then moving to new groups. And it's just really reminiscent of my dad's middle-aged man band drama. So I just, like, I don't want to go into that. And I will say a lot of the modern day Satanists, the ones that you see a lot of, if you think of Satanism in the modern era, they're probably not going to be theistic. They're going to be non-theistic. They don't believe that Satan is real. And actually, they're kind of looked down on the Satanists that do.
Interesting.
It is. It is. I opened a lot of can of worms here. So
went down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was already halfway in, so I decided just to keep digging, chasing that carrot. So the biggest and most public of these groups are what I'm going to cover today. And I'm going to do it kind of in a weird way. Like, I'm not going to go chronologically. I'm not going to, like, do, like, the history, because
that's a lot.
Yeah, the history. I'm actually going to go about it in a way that you would potentially discover them if you did a Google search. And that's not because that's what I did here. It's because Satanism is like an onion. He has layers. And we're going to start with those thin, flaky external layers just to really get into the thickness that brings tears to your eyes.
Thick. I like it.
Juicy.
Thick girls. You know I like it.
Crispy. And to start on that flaky layer, ooh, sorry everybody who belongs to this group, we're going to start with the Satanic Temple. And the first thing that they'll tell you is that they are a religion, but that's really only half of it. Because at their core, the Satanic Temple is secularist, which means their primary belief is in the separation of church and state. And they use their standing, so they do say they're a religious organization, and they use that standing to advocate for that belief through some very public stunts, like the Baphomet outside the Arkansas Capitol, which they were responsible for bringing in as opposition or as a protest against the erection of a Ten Commandments monument. So essentially, they did not think that a religious monument should have been placed on the people's property, right? Because the state legislature is a public building. We own it, right? But, well, we don't, because we're not Arkansasians. I don't know how to say that, but we're...
I don't either.
We're not hill folk, so we don't... Well, Laura comes from hill folk, so...
I do come from hill
people. She owns a piece of that building, but...
Genetically, at least.
Her heritage is down there. So... they just don't think that religion should be involved in government or rules. So that's why they do those kind of activities.
And I would say that, like, in my very surface level understanding of Satanism, which I don't have much of it. So, like, this is one of the ones that kind of always popped out to me. I was like, okay, I get it. You don't believe in this entity, but you're using it as an antagonist to kind of goad the system, but goad the system in a good way, because you're saying, like, okay, well, if you think this is okay, then you should be okay with any religion
exactly.
doing the things that you're doing. Yeah. And so I can respect this, because, you know, consistency. I'm a big fan of consistency. Like, just do it across the board. So if it's not cool for the Satanists to do it under the government dollar, government property, et cetera, then it's not okay for anybody to do it, which I can respect because you're using it to reinforce a unilateral policy.
Which is, I think in the Bill of Rights, I'm not a political person, but that freedom of religion and that separation of church and state is a big part of what makes America, America. So they're really trying to prevent that dogma from becoming the law of the land.
Yeah.
Which is kind of their key piece. And it's ironic because they do use the satanic imagery and a lot of the imagery that comes from Christianity and the old Jews, but they don't really believe in that God or the devil. But they do have a moral code. Don't get me wrong. They do have some kind of moral code to give credence to the fact that they're a religion. And it's based around seven tenets. And I will let you know what those are in summary because I'm not going to read you all of them word for word. One, be compassionate and empathetic to everybody, not just other people, but animals, every living thing. Two. Oh,
well, that's.
Yeah.
You can get behind that.
Yeah, that's a good vibe. The tenets are good. The tenets are like basic humanist shit. The struggle for justice is like the number one, right? Justice needs to prevail over laws and institutions, kind of digging into that religion thing. One's body is your own and you could do whatever the fuck you want with it and nobody else can tell you what to do with it. The freedoms of others should be respected, right? And that includes, Laura, you'll like this, the freedom to offend. I can say whatever I want and I shouldn't have to give a fuck about your feelings.
I'm not responsible for your emotional reaction to my thoughts. I can get behind that one very strongly.
Yeah. And if I try to stop somebody else from sharing their thoughts based on that, then I am also like infringing upon my own right. Like I'm giving up my rights, my right to opinion by stopping you from having yours.
Shooting darts into your own brain.
Exactly. I don't really know what that means, but I'm just agreeing with you to move to the next tenet.
Got it.
The other one is that we should really ground our reality in scientific understanding of the world, right? So science is what informs us, not belief. And we shouldn't look for science that supports what we believe. We should just accept scientific fact as fact.
That is a really good takeaway.
Yeah, it's hard because
I feel like is a little remiss.
I mean, even in polite society, right? We tend to Google things that... We find
confirmation bias.
It's rough. That's why we're kind of going for this lighter take here, because it's like, you know, we're not trying to make a point. We're just harbingers. That's another word I just made up of facts.
Harbinger.
Yeah. You know, a seasonless white lady with the speech ability of George W. Bush. What does she need? A fucking podcast, apparently.
Strategery.
Yeah, this is a strategic effort of mine to convince everybody to be Satanist. But number six is people are fallible, right? We fuck up. And if you fuck up, fix it, right? Take accountability and try to resolve any harm that's been solved. And then number seven is kind of the COA, cover your ass. It's just like, these tenets are supposed to make you be noble, but really like, let compassion, wisdom, and justice rule over you. And, like, don't take any written or spoken word as, like, fact, right? There's always wiggle room. If any of these change or don't quite cover it, just do what you can to be a good person. Like, that's your number one.
I mean, I feel like there's not a lot here that people can argue with, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's really what a lot of modern Satanism is, just, like, in line with humanism. Right. So what you would see at like an ethical society or like a humanist organization. And while they have these little tenets that are trying to, quote unquote, guide how members of the temple live their lives, what they're really famous for is that political activism. They have quite a few ongoing campaigns around topics like education, fighting addiction, mental health, reproductive rights, and of course, religious liberty. This means they're trying to protect their religious rights from being barred by Christian legislation, as we talked about before. Mm-hmm. And they do that through, like you said, calling out the hypocrisy of saying, if you can do it, so can we. So they really fight for the rights to add satanic monuments in addition to Christian monuments, having invocations in addition to public prayers, and even protecting all of our rights to partake in their religious abortion ritual. They're just so cheeky.
Tell me a little bit more about this. What is religious abortion?
Oh, they're just making abortion a religious ritual so that anybody who's Satanist can then sue the government for denying their right to practice their religion. So if you're a Satanist and you want an abortion and you can't get it, you can say, I think they did sue in Texas for the right to have a religious abortion ritual.
I'm not sure what I think about that, so I'm just not going to say anything.
I mean,
I'd have to look more into
that. Yeah, it's not really like, oh, we're going to have a ritual for abortion, right?
It's just. But that's.
I mean, the Jews.
That's kind of what they're trying to infer, which is a little bit like.
No, they're just saying abortion's a part of their religion and therefore is a protected right, which is also something that Jews
do. As a way to protect.
The right to get an abortion.
The right. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so I'm just going to skate past that and saying. I have more complicated thoughts on that, I think, but I don't have the details, so let's just move along.
That's good. That's a good transition, because what really the Satanic Temple is a liberal political activism group that has a wrapper of that spooky satanic imagery.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that makes them scarier or not, and I think that depends on your own political beliefs. But I will pontificate here, which is a word. Mind you, and say that
definitely
one of the hallmarks of Satanism is individual freedoms and literally do as thou wilt, right? That's like a big mantra. And I think it's just a bit ironic that this is now associated with the principles of the Democratic Party, since they were not always known as the party of individual freedoms. And it
they were not.
And it seems like we might be living through another shift, because I know Republicans and Democrats did a little switcheroo back in the day of Abraham Lincoln, but I feel like we're kind of getting there again.
After that, actually, Lyndon B. Johnson was really the switcheroo, but I know what you mean. Civil rights and
because they say Republicans was the
one who freed the slaves.
Yeah, the party of Lincoln, which is like, I think there's a little more nuance than that. Guys.
Always.
Yeah.
Everything. Nuance. Capital N. That is
the name of the game. We're all gods with two faces. You know?
Yes.
Gods with two faces of our own universe. But, you know, there's a lot to unpack around the Satanic Temple, because they just are so in the mix. And there's actually like a pretty interesting documentary that kind of started this conversation about doing a Satan episode like way back in the day. And I watched it a while ago, and it was called Hail Satan? And it's really fun, because it portrays kind of the right mix of satanic fun going on with a really good balance of the cringe that goes into the Satanic Temple, because...
Were people wearing robes?
Yeah. I mean, because just think of every weird kid in your high school. Those are the people that make up the Satanic Temple. God bless them. You know, I am probably one of them. But they're just... It's a fair amount of cringe. But I think you can watch it on Amazon Prime or something. I Googled it and I wrote it down. But that's the Satanic Temple.
Okay. What's next?
Well, now we get into a little bit more of legitimate Satanism. So if you get kind of involved in the Satanic Temple based on, you know, what they do or seeing them in the news, you might continue your journey, in which you will find...
You get deeper into the fold.
The fold.
And it's like, where can we lead you into something weird?
Of course.
Weirder.
Of course. Yeah, the Satanic Temple, that's the labia majora. Now we're like deeper in the folds. We're getting into the
labia minor.
Yeah, we're getting into the minora here, folks. But when you decide you want to burrow down into deeper labia, where do you turn? Well, my fellow child of Satan, I have the answer for you. And that is the Church of Satan. And are you familiar with them at all?
I mean, Satanism is just like this big umbrella
blanket
to me.
Concept.
I don't know the difference. Yeah, okay. I really don't.
Well, I will say my first brush with the Church of Satan didn't happen in some dark basement dungeon or woodland ritual site, but rather in the very satanic world of a Barnes & Noble. circa probably like 2009. And I was there trolling around with my very cool and popular group of friends because for fun, we went to Barnes & Noble. Hail Satan.
I mean, that tracks for me. That was my also, you know, late teens.
Oh, yeah. And as we were creeping around, I wandered into the nonfiction section, and that's where I saw it. The Satanic Bible. And now, I have like a little streak for the dark, right? I've been curious about it. Right? Who? Yeah, it's human nature.
If you're listening to this podcast, you have a streak for the darkness.
Oh, you've all got that dark streak. I don't even know where I was going with that. I don't. I like it. I like that you're here. Thank you for being here. So I saw the Satanic Bible. I'm like, oh, I want to see that. I want to investigate it. I want to see what it's about. But I was also like a freshly confirmed Catholic, like hot off the presses. Psst.
Oh, so this is not late teens. This is eighth grade.
I mean, like freshman year of high school, yeah. Sophomore year.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of when I had friends. Probably wasn't freshman year.
Friends. What are those like?
I was like simmering. I was a simmering confirmed Catholic. And I had also just seen The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which I will probably say was a little bit more influential than the 8 years of Catholic school, religion school that I had been forced to endure.
Truly.
So I like picked it up and looked at it, but then I got freaked out because I legitimately thought I was going to get possessed, and I put it back on the shelf. I thought the devil was going to come right into that aisle of Barnes & Noble and take my soul. So I threw it back down really quick after like only flipping through a couple pages.
That's what religion does to you, man. Like, if you spend too much time in that world, you get a little crazy, right? Like,
you think you're going to get possessed at a Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Satan is everywhere.
It drives you a little nuts.
Yes. But that book, The Satanic Bible, is written by Church of Satan founder Anton LaVey. And this...
I do know him. I've listened to podcasts on this gentleman.
Again, another little Randy fellow. Yes. So this sect of Satanism sprung from the bowels of hell in 1966, so not as ancient as one might think. And the Church of Satan is, and I quote from their very modern and slick website, dedicated to the acceptance of man's true nature, that of a carnal beast living in a cosmos that is indifferent to our existence. And that pretty much kind of summarizes their vibe. So, like, think Cheeto crusted Reddit moderator.
I mean, you get rid of all the flowery language, and I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just animals living in a world that happens no matter what we do. Like,
well, exactly.
The world is a random and chaotic place, and we live in it.
The message is primo. The delivery
yeah.
is a little
dramatic.
I am very smart.
a bit of the theater kid.
Oh, delivery. These are 100% the theater kids. Like, think guy's an eyeliner and you've got the Church of Satan pinned down. And while they do believe in eyeliner and theatrics, they don't believe in Satan, right? They actually are atheists. That's kind of one of their core principles. They don't believe in God or a devil or a heaven or a hell, according to their handy dandy satanic FAQ page, which I didn't know Satan needed, but he has. Satan, to us, the Church of Satan, is a symbol of pride, liberty, and individualism, and it serves as an, here we go with the Satan speak, external metaphorical projection of her highest personal potential. So, I mean, I feel bad about writing for corporate America, but that's probably on the same level of just jargon nonsense.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. External metaphorical projection of her highest personal potential.
I think it's just like Satan is the best we can aspire to be, as if I was going to dumb it down. But
okay.
But because of that, he symbolizes pride and liberty and individualism. Right. So
okay,
we should strive to be like that.
Okay. So what do they actually believe?
Well, let me tell you, they believe in themselves. The Church of Satan followers understand that all gods of our species are made up. They're made up. They're made up by our big, sexy brains. And therefore, they feel that they can harness that power to make themselves the god of their own reality.
Okay. I read the book Sapiens. I get that. Humans are one of our most big sexy brain tricks is the ability to like imagine a world outside of ourselves and make up shared stories. So I get that in theory, but putting it all in this cloak and dagger and then calling it Satan is the part where I'm a little bit hesitant, but okay. Tell me more.
Yes. So we gods and of our own worlds trapped in our meat prisons, what are we to do? Well, apparently a lot of fucking, but never with animals or children, as mentioned multiple times in their FAQs.
Good disclaimer.
Yes. This branch here, they are like the true hedonists of Satanism. And I mean, to some extent they all are because a lot of these core principles are shared, but these are the ones that are really front and center about it. The official history even says that the Church of Satan began on a night when witches and devils roamed the earth, orgastically glorifying the fruition of the spring equinox. Which, here's where I add another aside about why orgies are considered satanic. Are you curious? Do you want to know? I'll skip it if you don't.
I'm just like, what the fuck? Orgastically
I didn't know it was an adverb, but now I'm going to start orgastically doing a lot more shit.
I'm orgastically finishing this glass of wine right now.
I'm orgastically podcasting. But I'll give you the fun fact about orgies anyway. Because
okay.
I like fun facts. And I learned it for this episode. I done did learned it. So I'm going to done do share it. So as I mentioned before, a lot of Satanism is wrapped around order versus chaos. But you can't, and that's like a common theme in a lot of religions, but you can't have the order without the chaos. So there's a lot of invoking chaos at times. And those chaos rituals involved orgies. So therefore, it's part of that pagan religion, right? That those pagan beliefs that the Christian church was like, none of that. So the orgies then got lumped into Satanism. So now modern day Satanists are having orgies, and that's why.
Well, I mean, I guess it is pretty chaotic. I mean, who's fucking who? Who's fucking what? Who's being left alone? Who's
a nightmare to clean up after?
Really, truly.
Just burn the house down. Maybe that's why they have those big, like, fires, bonfires in Satanism, because it's like, I'm not cleaning that shit.
Burn the evidence! Burn the evidence!
Yeah, that house is ruined.
Ruined.
Don't even deal with it. But that kind of all ties into the fact that, you know, we're nothing more than highly intelligent animals, so just do what feels good to you, as long as you're not hurting anybody else. Again, they're really laying that on, because they're good guy Satanists, you know? Hashtag good guy Satan.
And yourself, I would say. I think that probably the Satanists might call it out, but, like, you know, being a heroin addict, maybe it's not hurting anybody else, but you're hurting yourself and, like, really bad. So I can generally pick up what they're putting down here.
Exactly. And they back this up with actual rules for their religion. So this is a combination of their tenets and their blah, 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 blah. And all the stuff you'll find on their very modern and slick website. No facetiousness. But some of those rules are do not harm little children. They had to do that.
God, save the children. What about the children? That's always my number one thing.
They had to put that in after the 1980s Satanic Panic. They're like, look, we don't give a fuck about children. We don't want the children here. Get them out of here. I don't want to see a goddamn child. These people, they don't want children around. Another rule is do not kill non-human animals unless you were attacked or for food. So they have some exceptions. Do not make sexual advances unless you're giving the mating signal, which is just mating signal.
Does it specify what the mating signal is?
Yeah, it's going.
It's a little generic. I mean, that's a hard thing to suss out. I would like the Church of Satan.
It's a little bit to more nuanced.
Give us
than
a little
that.
Bit of
consent is sticky.
A little bit of guidance.
It is. But I like that they're at least in the spirit True. Trying yeah. to get to the point of consent. And then also, just like, don't steal. Don't take what's not yours unless somebody else is like, this is sucks for me to have this thing. Somebody please take it from me. Which
I hate this lotto winning. Please take it from me.
I can't manage all this money. Somebody, somebody free me from this burden. No, it's just like somebody's like, there's entire Facebook groups of people trying to unload shit. So I get that. But don't get the wrong idea either here. They're not all like soft, fuzzy pacifists by any means. You get some really golden nuggets in their guiding principles like, if a guest in your lair annoys you, treat them cruelly and without mercy. Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. And if you're walking in open territory, again, the lingo here. If you're in public, bother no one. And if somebody bothers you, ask him to stop. If he does not stop, and I quote, destroy him. And vengeance is really a top-notch quality when it comes to Satanism and all of its levels. People, like, don't waste your love on somebody who's not worthy.
In the podcast that I've listened to, this one has been covered a lot. I'm familiar with all these principles.
Satanism?
This particular, so the Church of Satan. And Anton LaVey is Satan. Yeah, I've heard this in multiple podcasts. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's wrapped in some flowery bullshit. But, you know, I mean, not bad principles necessarily.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, and that's where I think that people can get behind it. Again, it's that humanist side, but it is very much wrapped in the satanic wrapper. And you can really get a vibe for why they latch onto that kind of stuff and why they're really down with Satan by looking...
DTS, down to spooky.
Down to spooky.
Down to Satan.
And I get it because I'm a spooky bitch. No, I'm not. If you... In my corporate job and my... Out there with my stroller and my infant, I'm very spooky. No, but I do like this stuff. But you get an idea of their vibe when you look at their satanic sins. So the worst things you can do as a Church of Satan member. And two of the biggest in there is stupidity and herd conformity. So these are all the people, again, in high school who were just like, I don't want to go to prom. Prom is for losers, right? Yeah. I'm not engaging in this old patriarchal tradition of men asking women so they can blah, 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 which I mean, I'm very anti-patriarchal. But
I mean, yeah, you get their point, but you're also like, don't be such a fucking buzzkill.
Yeah, it's just like, they're probably the ones who call women basic and...
Yeah.
I mean, again, I fall into this category because I hate on Labradoodles because literally everybody has a Labradoodle. Like, again, those are kind of two of my biggest sins too, right? Is I don't want to be just like everybody else. And
yeah, but who doesn't love a pumpkin spice latte?
I mean, things are popular for
a
reason.
Go fuck yourself. They're sugary and they're delicious.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And it's like I don't hate on it for other people, but I would rather die than own a Labradoodle. If somebody held a gun to my head and said, had a Labradoodle or I will end you, I will say, no, get that abomination away from me. I only rescue shelter dogs. Any hoodle.
Any hoodle. Doodle.
Ugh, hoodle doodle. Hoodle doodle noodle scoodle for Satan. So the Church of Satan, really. They're about the individual and doing what feels good. And I know hedonism gets kind of a sexy name, but I don't know about you, Laura, but in my hedonistic world, it involves a lot of laying around, a lot of sloth, and a lot of just gorging on whatever tastes good in the moment.
Oh, you know, that's exactly what hedonism means to me. It does not mean orgies. It means an orgy of Netflix and whatever chocolate or whatever sugar you have laying around me, which sounds good on paper. But if you do that shit too much, it's bad for you, right?
Well, yeah, but that's not the point. That's hedonism is doing what feels good for your little ape body.
Yeah, well, my ape body is fat.
We all are, aren't we?
It's America.
And
welcome to the club.
As interesting as how fat everybody is, a little fun fact as we wind down the Church of Satan segment is that the Church of Satan, again, is one of the bigger groups that's involved in the Satanism world. And they have this cute little rivalry going on with the Satanic Temple, where the Church of Satan thinks that the Satanic Temple is like a satire group that uses satanic imagery for attention, which a lot of that imagery was made popular by their founder, Anton LaVey. So I kind of get why they might be salty.
So like that kind of like upside down pentagram looking thing, yes, and the horns
and the Baphomet. They got it. They claim that Anton LaVey is like the prevailer of the Baphomet sigil, but you know, the Baphomet goes way back in time.
No, he didn't create that shit.
No, but he like modernized it or whatever.
And popularized it.
Yeah, exactly,
it.
Is what they're saying.
All right.
So I get why they're like, oh, he's using our quote unquote religious symbols just to shock and awe. But on the flippity flop, the Satanic Temple considers the Church of Satan outdated, old fashioned, and irrelevant.
There you go.
I gots it. George Bush mouth. As they call out in their material where they make fun of their Twitter feed and their website and their inactive social media presence.
They've got a Twitter war. Oh, how cute.
It's hilarious. And it's so ingrained in them both that each side has a section of their website that is dedicated to it. So they each have like a checklist of like what the other one does bad and what they do right. It's pretty cute. I mean, like, I don't,
that is cute.
I don't think Satan would be like worrying about that, but who am I to say? So that's the Church of Satan in a nutshell. So now the final branch of Satanism that I'm going to talk about today. And they actually don't really consider themselves that. But I think they're worth mentioning because they seem kind of like a progression of the Satanism world. And they kind of play on a name here that you'll recognize. But they take a lot of the ideals behind Satanism and they kind of turn down the sexy cosplay area and focus more on the philosophy. I really like them. I'm a big fan. And if I was to become a Satanist, which, again, they don't think they're Satanists. They call themselves their own thing. This is where I would fall. And before you judge me, Laura, because I know what you think about this, all this stuff, I want to ask you, Laura, how would you describe your top values and beliefs? Like, what's most important to you? Outside of, like, obvious, like, family, your children, wine and good snacks.
Top values, self-reflection. I'm a big component of knowing yourself, right? You know, doing is another part of it, but understanding is that top thing. You need to understand yourself and your own motivations and where you came from in order to do something different. Individualism in the sense, individualism is a tricky thing, but in general, it's just like standing up for what is right. Like, I guess what I mean, say what you mean and mean what you say. You know, when you have a thought that you want to stand behind, you're going to voice it. And when you voice it, you stand behind it. So those are two. I'm trying to think of others.
After knowing you for as long as I've known you, which is what, like 5 years at this point? Jesus Christ.
I know.
It's what, paper anniversary? I believe that you value, like you said, independence, free thinking. Yep. I want to not just follow the herd. I'm going to, you know, make my own decisions. Mm-hmm. And like kind of that, you know, listeners, you may or may not know this, but Laura is a staunch libertarian to the point where she actually has a Don't Tread on Me tattoo. I'm not going to say where. I'm starting the mythos.
Neither of those things are true. I do not contribute to any libertarian.
You've told me that, I believe.
Parties.
I thought.
No, there are libertarians that I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, there is a lot of
Didn't
things
you vote
about libertarians
for one in 2016?
That I agree. Oh, I'm sure that I have. I'm sure that I've voted.
Putting your record out there. She's not with her.
Yeah, but I have no tattoos at all. But yeah, I mean, the general thing of just like, do your own thing. Don't necessarily be swayed by what's popular or what is considered popular. I remember they had a poster in my grade school. What is right is not always popular, and what is popular is not always right. And I feel like my fifth grade me just like took that and like scratched it down and shoved it in my heart and forever.
So now, So now we got a vibe of what Laura's all about. And, you know, you say you don't have a don't try to me tattoo. I say, you know, we live in our own realities. Laura said she doesn't. I say she does.
And you say she does.
I've seen it. I'm just
in your reality.
I'm creating the mystique, Laura. I'm creating the brand.
It's on my labia majora.
I have not seen that. We're not that close. It's a tramp stamp.
No. Don't put that out there. So, God, that would turn my husband on so much.
I know. So while he's like, yeah, personal liberties.
Don't tread on me.
States' rights.
I'm treading on this shit right now.
I'm going to tread all over you, baby. Well, outside of, you know, the don't tread on me tramp stamp, you actually have a lot in common with Luciferianism, which is aka the Church of Lucifer. This group is described as more of a mix of paganism and modern Satanism, but its origins go back to medieval Europe, and that's where things get a little bit messy. But as
I imagine, a lot of these were burned at the stake.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who like kind of latched on to any kind of paganism was like, get out of here, you heretic. But
yeah,
as you might have mentioned. As you might guess, the center of Luciferianism is, of course, Lucifer. And, like, what do you know about Lucifer outside of his role as, like, Satan?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Fallen angel, you know.
That kind of stuff. Well, Lucifer, as I learned in doing this research, Luciferianism doesn't have, like, an entity. It's, like, much more of a personal belief system. So a lot of this stuff came from, like, a book that I read by that Satan guy, as well as like Luciferians on Reddit. So they don't have a central point of truth. I'm just taking it straight from the horse's mouth. But
okay.
Lucifer is a modern adaptation of a god that humans have worshipped for a long time, like since the ancient cultures. And that is that stand-in for Venus, right? The morning star, as we talked about before. It signifies the end of night and darkness, with dawn just around the corner. And that's why Lucifer and his predecessors are all called the light bearer, as they signify the coming morning, the coming dawn.
So is this like a theistic religion? Like they believe in him as a entity to be worshipped, or more of the ideal of the coming of light, coming of enlightenment, I would imagine.
Yes. So they are non-theistic. There is, of course, two branches. There is a theistic branch, which, oh, they're a riot. I'll get to them in a minute. But
okay. The
non-theistic side of it, again, as you said, sees Lucifer as a symbol. And what is the symbolism of light? Of course, right? It's not, doesn't take a genius to understand what light symbolizes to humans.
So, enlightenment.
Yeah. So to his followers, Lucifer, he brings light in the form of enlightenment, independence, human knowledge, and progress. He's the shining in the light without whom I cannot see. He is insurrection. He is fight. He is the force that makes me be. Cut me off anytime. He is.
Makes you feel what? Four is the force that makes me feel what?
Makes me be.
Makes you be.
He brought me life. He's the insurrection that holds us together. God bless him. Lucifer, bless him. But anyways, that was just a little bit more ghost. I expected you to cut me off.
I figured.
Way sooner. I was like, I'm just going to roll with it.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, so enlightenment is the core tenet of Luciferianism. So the basic Luciferian principle highlights truth and freedom of will, worshiping that inner self again, and one's ultimate potential, and encouraging and celebrating that same potential within all. And it relies on mythology and religion to tell that story. So, Laura, you consider yourself a Christian, right? Nope, you don't. You it's grew up bit, Christian.
Yeah, I grew up Christian. I have a lot of the mores and values, but I mean, as far as like, do I worship Jesus Christ as my Lord, personal savior? I bet he was a good guy. I think he existed. He was probably pretty cool.
Yeah. A lot of Satanists are down with Jesus. They're like, they like Jesus or whoever this Jesus
character type character is. Who can't be down with Jesus? Whoever this GC guy is, you know? But as for, you know, my Lord and personal savior and Trinity and all this shit, I don't know. But something like that, something akin.
Yeah.
That's where I consider myself.
Okay, and that's fair. So this is going to be a lot less adversarial then, because it's speaking to the general Christians. Because there's a lot about Christianity that's like, I don't know, that does not vibe with this train of thought, where the Christian God, the Catholic God, if he had it his way, we would all be naked in a jungle somewhere, right? Living in
that's how he originally intended it, according to the Bible. Yeah.
Yeah. We would be dumb. We would be naked. We would be just completely at his mercy and his will. And that's where the Lucifer character comes in. And he gave us knowledge. He gave us that apple that let us say, oh, I'm naked, that gave us the ability to evolve and create the world that we live in today and become the people we are today. Fat, comfortable apes just trying to find a shred of happiness in our ancestors' fucking utopia.
Exactly. Unhappy, unsatisfied, constantly striving for something that we can't quite grasp.
Would you give up air conditioning, though?
I mean, if it meant that I didn't give a shit that I was hot, yeah.
You don't give a shot. You don't give a shit about being hot when you've watched a leopard eat your grandma. I think a lot of our... But do you want the trauma and the tragedy that makes all of our trivial shit seem unimportant? Do you want to have 10 kids and watch 7 of them die? No.
Because if you don't know any different...
I would love... You know? I don't know. We're living...
I just want satisfaction. I just want to be happy. Do I know what makes me happy? Fuck no. I'm a human being, which means I have no goddamn idea what's going to make me happy.
Oh, man. You know what makes me happy? Fucking turning on my AC in our room to 60 degrees at night. And just I'm so comfortable waking up every morning, never having to worry about where my next meal comes from. Just never being uncomfortable, man. And just like... I know there's stress in modern life. There's stress in any life, but not all of it's life or death. And I watch these nature documentaries and I'm like, how can you be at Animal and Wild and your life is literally on the line 24/7? We will never know what that's like. And that is because
we don't know now. Lucifer. Okay. So if you don't believe him in a theistic sense.
Well, yeah, that's
talk to me about it. Tell me more about
it. I mean, I think that what we're getting at here, which is also what is a big part of Christianity, is that struggle between the animal side and the evolution to that higher knowledge. And it's just like, because of whatever sparked that evolution in us to become who we are today, that's what I believe in. Like, this is the closest you can get. So, when I was a child, I went on a European tour with a band. JK, it was a concert band, an orchestra, and a choir. And my parents also went on it because they were like, no way are you guys going to Europe before us. But
good for them.
Yeah, so it was like a family affair in Europe with a French horn. It's fine. And my mom, one of the most impactful moments that she talks about to this day is going to Charles Darwin's gravesite. And she said, that was like the closest I'll come to a religious experience because of science, right? Like, that is the person who, like, defined a lot of our modern understanding. And I'm like, that's Satanism, baby, because it's about human understanding, human knowledge, human progression. And that's always what I'll believe in, 100%, is that this is our world. We've made it on our own. You know, whether there's... who knows what made it happen, but, like, we... made this. Like, this is...
we build our reality. Yeah,
exactly. And I am grateful for the world I live in, you know, regardless of my mental health struggles, because it's like, eventually it helps to have some perspective, right? Because the tribes and the unfound tribes in South America laughed when the missionary told them that his mom killed herself, because they were like, what the fuck? Killing yourself? That's ridiculous. Yeah. So it's just like, I would rather be where I am today and worried about my mental health than watch the people I care about die horrific deaths. It's like, it was only 100 or so years ago that the fucking Donner Party ate each other. You know, it's just like, I'm happy about where we are. It's not perfect. Do I believe we're in the worst universe, the worst reality? No.
God, because, no.
Yeah. I've heard people say that on other podcasts. Like, we're in the worst timeline. Oh. And I'm like, really? This life, even though we have a lot to overcome still, we're far from perfect, but it's still way better than living in the jungle and watching your grandma getting eaten by a jaguar, which is a reference to a documentary.
You know that one gets under my skin. I have railed to you multiple times at people who say that to me, and I'm just like, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Look at your life. Look around at your life, and then look at mortality rates. You know, look at your education rates. Look at your income rates. They are higher than they've ever been. Like, yeah, inflation and yeah, tragedy is tragedy, but you are living in the best time in the entirety of human existence. The odds of your child dying, which is, I think, objectively, we all agree, is fucking the worst thing that could happen to you in your entire life, are lower than it has ever been. Not only, you know, your one kid, but your two kids, three kids, four kids, five kids, like however many fucking kids you want to pop out of your vagina. If it's 13, the best odds that all 13 of those are going to survive. And that is the best time that we've ever lived in. So whatever you talk about, the social turmoil and all this kind of stuff, like, yeah, can we improve? Absolutely. But we are living in a fucking utopia, a caveman paradise, as you like to say. And anybody who doesn't recognize that, crack a fucking history book. Open it up to any time before now and realize where you are.
Yeah, people aren't being violently executed in horrific ways. You know, it's just like, if you really think that this life is so bad, go out in the woods for a week, you know, and just like try to make for it, real. Man.
Yeah.
Because it's never been better than it is now. And I firmly stand by that. It wasn't better in the Middle Ages. It was not better in the 1950s. We're always progressing. And you know why? Because humans are doing that. Humans are making it better. And that's
that
a satanic,
big brain shit.
Yeah, it's satanic principle right there. It all comes around.
Why is it just a human principle? I don't
Okay. Because anyway, Satanists are humanists, right? They go, they walk hand in hand. And why they adopt these satanic images, right? It's because Christianity is one of the most widely recognized religions, and Luciferians are deeply opposed to dogma, which you will also see in all of the other satanic religions. And it's almost like you say, why do they have to wrap it in this satanic stuff? Yeah. It's like, how could you not? Like, Christianity is so in our faces every day. We live with it, whether we're Christian or not. Talk to anybody who isn't Christian, and they'll be like, yeah, Christianity is a big part of our day-to-day life here in the West. And so it's just like, how could it not be a part of this? Because if you're going to stand in opposition, if you're going to rage against the machine, what is the machine, right? It's Christianity. So if you're that person who thinks the worst sin is herd conformity, that's the herd, right? You're going to always stand on the outside of whatever the group is. And if all of a sudden Satanism got super popular, they would find something else to do and be like, fuck Satan. And that's the same thing as you see all the time. Like, you think this dark stuff is spooky and like on the fringes, and then you go on a trip and you fly through Denver Airport and everybody's wearing skeletons on their shirt, and you're like, well, is like goth over now? Is it mainstream? Like, that's the same principle. So it's just, that is really that's really why the Christian, anti-Christian Lucifer Satan comes into it. I mean, also there's Lucifer in the sense of being the light bringer, the morning star. He's just one of the principles that find their way into Luciferianism. Of course, there's also Prometheus, which is the of the Greek origin, and he is another Lightbringer who defied the gods to elevate man. So very mm-hmm. much in the same light. And then, of course, my queen, Lilith, who's...
Who doesn't love Lilith?
She's a fucking boss bitch. Her fiery independence meant that she did not want to obey Adam. Adam's first wife in the Jewish tradition, she was like, we're the same. We're equals. I'm not going to obey you. I'm not going to bow down to you. And you know what? That got her kicked out of paradise. And personally, that's a good vibe. But anyways, this all comes together to make a philosophy or a practice that's all about thinking for yourself, being skeptical about what you're told, digging in to find the truth, and breaking free of dogma and taboo in a quest for knowledge and personal growth. And do you know what that sounds an awful lot like?
What?
It sounds like our podcast, Impolite Society. So that's all going to say. Impolite Society is pretty satanic.
Good evil laugh.
I'm going to put some sound effects over it, too.
I don't know. I understand what you're saying. I do. And putting it in a wrapper that, I mean, is dramatic and appeals to people. And like you said, is sticking it to the man. I guess I do. I get it. My whole thing is like, do I stand behind those principles? Like, yeah, absolutely I do. But to me, I stand behind it in this thing of like, this is human brilliance. You know, it's science, it's philosophers, it's psychology, it's all of these things that we put together. And I'm like, I don't want to stick a label on it. I don't want to stick a figurehead on it in a metaphorical sense. Like, I'm just a student of humanity, man. I'm not a student of Lucifer. I'm a student of humanity. That's what I want to understand and what I want to grow in. And putting a name to it in the terms of something that, I grew up thinking is the Lucifer is the patron saint of, you know, pedophiles and murderers. That's not what I'm into. But I understand that inclination to put it in a wrapper of it's like, fuck you, man.
Yeah, it's a push and pull, right? It's the they push, this is the pull. And it involves a lot of the elements that aren't associated with Christianity, which is like, or mainstream, any kind of religion, which is you decide, you think about it, mm-hmm. you come to your own conclusion. That's the difference. And again, it's really, like you said, a philosophy. It's like a mindset. It's not a religion. And you don't have to put the satanic wrapper on it. But if you did, and I'm just going to make a quick note of this because it's like an entirely different can of worms. That could be its own show entirely.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. I love it.
I thought we were not going to do that anymore.
I love it because it's so freaky. But in the satanic adjacent world, and especially in the world of theistic Luciferians, they are prone to call... to walk what we call the left-hand path, which is a form of magic with a K that does break a lot of the taboos that come with regular, like, New Age mysticism magic. And in this type of magic with a K, you'll find lots of satanic imagery and a lot of sex magic, baby. And
Aleister Crowley, sex magic.
Well, Aleister Crowley was like he's a little bit darker. He's like a little bit more do as thou wilt. And he's like, I'm going to hurt people. So I don't vibe with him. But that kind of sex magic is more common in those who walk the left-hand path. And there's like a whole world to it. And I'm assuming that there's probably a few Church of Satan folks who are also doing sex magic. And that's kind of like, I think we're, you know, speaking of the onion, the satanic temple falls more on the crispy outside, because I don't think the folks who are a part of that are to the point of masturbating and doing like masturbatory sigils and that kind of stuff. They're just not as hardcore. So anyways, that's kind of like, that's why we're really digging into the center here.
Okay, and so these are the theistic people. Like, these are literally, they're doing rituals to a god.
Yeah, like Lucifer. A lot of Satanists will have, like, a altar, which is what they use to kind of, like, keep the things top of mind. Because as Laura and I have discussed outside of the podcast, magic with a K, it's very akin to the secret. And it's even akin to prayer in Christianity, where it's like, really trying to manifest what you desire by putting your mind to it and like
you're meditating
focusing
on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Only in the left hand path that involves ejaculating onto a sigil, and it's like a whole thing.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Because like religion is wrapped up in all of this fucking weird ritual and really pagan. Like you go to a freaking Catholic mass and you're like, there are a lot of golden things here and a lot of symbols, and it all honestly feels very pagan.
Yeah.
So it tracks. It's all kind of in that same vein.
Remember when Moses flipped shit about a golden calf?
Yeah.
It's a lot of hypocrisy too. That's why I don't like
truly
religion.
Truly.
It's all just us monkey man trying to make sense of the world that we live in.
The world, totally.
But yeah, and that's, you know, and one of that forms of making sense of the world is Satanism. And we
is masturbating onto a sigil.
Sigil.
Sigil? Sigil. Sorry. I don't even know the terminology. Ah.
Ah, you got to get with it. But anyway, so we've just really only started peeling back the layers of the satanic onion. And if you're interested, if this is something you're interested in, I encourage you to do your own research and learn more about hashtag good guy Satan. And, you know, you will really then start to dig your way out of the mountain of bad press that's been thrown on him for millennia. Satan's kind of like the Amber Heard of Christianity. Sure, he's kind of fucked up. He has his problems, but the other guy, woo, he's no saint either. If you know, if you really look into it, he just has a better publicist and has earned public favor. Fucking Johnny Depp. That might be the most controversial thing I've said this whole podcast while talking about Satan.
I mean, you know, Amber Heard shit in a bed, and I'm
no,
sure
no, she didn't.
Depp...
Watch the documentary. It was the fucking dog.
I wanted to watch it. I wanted to, the Heard versus Depp on who I wanted to
and
watch.
And then at
it
the end of the documentary, they pull like, you're part of the problem because you watch this shit. And I'm like, well, you just made money off of it, you fuck. I didn't
That's
make money
awesome.
Off of it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Throw it back at you. I love that.
Yeah. It was kind of like an okay stinker moment, but like, Johnny Depp kicked her, and he knows he kicked her, and that's probably just that. No actors are sane people. No, especially somebody who's been famous for 2 decades. Like,
totally,
homie is just—he's mentally fucked up beyond repair. I watched BoJack Horseman. I know. Anywho, that's a high-level take on Satan and Satanism. And if you were looking for blood rituals and orgy ceremonies, man, I am sorry to disappoint. Modern day Satanism is a lot more about politics, personal beliefs, and philosophy than it is about sexy, culty worlds we've been sold. Now, okay, don't get me wrong. As I mentioned before, I'm sure sex is involved for some, but it is definitely not all robes and virgins on altars.
Well, we'll just check in with Aleister Crowley and see what he has to say about that later.
I would encourage
you. Maybe we'll do an episode on him.
Not to look up him. Based on my research of this, it's
that means we're definitely going to do an
the
episode
bummer
on
index.
Aleister Crowley.
The bummer index is high. No, I'm not saying this to protect my homie Satan, good guy Satan. I'm just saying like there's bummers. There's definitely some key bummer content. But anyways, that's our episode for today. We hope you have a very spooky Halloween, because we never mentioned it, but this is our Halloween special. This is why it's a lot longer than a normal episode. But even in the darkest of nights, dear listeners, fear not, because the morning star himself will soon return to bring light, knowledge, and progress to you. Hail Satan!
Well, on that note, impolite society will soon return to bring light, knowledge, and progress on you. And so, tell your friends.
Bring that knowledge and light and progress all over me.
In some sort of masturbatory ritual sigil.
Sigil.
Right?
Sigil.
Sigil. Ah, I don't know these terms. So don't forget. Tell a friend about Impolite Society if you're curious, if you're interested, if you like these
if
weird...
you love Satan.
And off-color and taboo...
Or if you love
weird
Jesus.
Macabre
if you have
topics.
A friend who loves Jesus, like, send them this and really get them shocked.
Exactly. If you have a nuanced thinker Jesus lover, sure, send them this. See what they think. But never forget, y'all... keep staying weird, keep staying satanic, and keep marching to the beat of your own drum.
We're standing here by the abyss, and the world is on flames. Two star-crossed
like
lovers reaching out.
That's my voice.
To the beast with many names.
Isn't he Ghost musical? Is that what's up next for Ghost? I think
Tobias Forge would love that.